asking me
questions. All right.
About how they do that.
Good morning. I think we will get started here with our August 14th meeting. The sun has finally come out in the Bay Area here, and so we're Half Moon Bay. We have not seen the sun in about 3 weeks, so it's very exciting. Or the city of San Francisco also, right?
Yes.
And so we're so excited about our new board member. We'll let her make a brief comment here in a moment after roll call, but I always have to start with something. So this one here, and it actually will relate to your life as it changed today. We don't get away too often, but a couple weeks ago, family and grandkids had us on Lake Tahoe. It was actually right after our vice chair swam 5,000 miles across the lake or whatever. So we rent a boat, and old Navy guy, great-grandpa's got to drive because, come on, my son-in-laws can't drive. They can't do anything right. But that's another story. But he loves my wife and his kids. He's a good guy. So I'm driving the boat, and what do I see? A plastic bottle in the lake. I got to go get the plastic bottle right away. Papa, what are you doing? You know, that's a plastic bottle. Okay, so all right, one time. They'll let you go pick up a plastic bottle. So then we got the boat around the lake. Nobody's on the lake. It's beautiful. I see something coming down from the... What the heck is coming down from the sky? Mylar balloon. I'm like, okay, got to go. And the kids are on the tube, and I'm throwing the grandkids off the tube. We got to go get the Mylar balloon. And everybody got the flag up. So they go, you will never get to go on Lake Tahoe again because of your waterboard life. So that's it. Either that or they want a collection so they can pay for half the rental of the boat next year while I'm running around picking up garbage on the lake. I swear to God. They're going to buy me a separate boat. You will see. It will change your life. So, well, a roll call vote, please. And nice seeing our recording. Officer here. It's been a while. Welcome back. So we will start with roll call, please. Staff.
Board Member Kissinger.
Here.
Board Member Ajami.
Here.
Board Member Amekuga.
Here.
Here.
Vice Chair Young.
Here.
Chair Muller.
Here. Thank you. So we will go back up here to the board, and we'll have our new board member, Abajami, I believe. And I know the governor's really testing this chair on the names. We got Abakobi, now we have all the A's are here. So the Rolodexes or the iPhones or...
I think that's why they...
So welcome, and would you please give us a little background about yourself, and nice seeing you again.
Sure. I'm delighted to be here. I'm a civil engineer, water resource engineer by training. I have a PhD in water resource management. I've worked for the legislature for 1 year during the Brown administration, 3 years ago, the first year of Brown administration. I worked for the Natural Resources and Water Committee in the Senate side. And that was definitely an eye-opening experience, learning how the policy-making process works and how you need to see every issue from different angles. And then I came back to Bay Area not really thinking about any political career or any of that sort, working on research and doing policy, actually, but in a from a research perspective. And then one day I got a call from governor's office saying, we want you to apply for a seat. So, and I did apply, and I'm delighted to be here and glad that... after 9 months waiting, they finally got around.
And that's their own choice, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you. We're happy to hear you. And you live in San Francisco,
so
we have another west side of the Bay representative around here in downtown San Francisco, lady.
Yes.
And so that's...
We're getting unbalanced.
And we're getting unbalanced. Yeah, our side is winning right now. So that's wonderful. Thank you. And we look forward to your expertise. So we're going to have more doctors up here than they do at the medical clinic. But that's okay. We hopefully don't need them all. So we will go with Tam is here also. So Tam, would you come forward, please?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members, and
welcome to the newest member as well. I see that you are truly a balanced board now. And I'm sure if your former colleague and my current colleague, Stephen Moore, were here, he would be so jealous seeing that he's the token male on the State Water Board. But anyway, thank you. I'm so happy to be here and so happy to see the new board member here as well. Wanted to give you just a quick rundown on a couple of things happening in Sacramento. The legislative session is reaching its end, and so there's a lot of things going on, a lot of discussions taking place on the water bond, on a variety of issues. The only one that I'll bring up right now is the drinking water program. As you know, that's an issue we've been tracking and providing technical support on all session long. Recently, the Brown administration, the governor, announced that it is the administration's position that the drinking water program should be consolidated in order to ensure more efficient, improved management of water resources. And so the administration staff has been working with the authors of AB 124 to address various concern and to modify that bill. But essentially, that bill would move the drinking water program from the Department of Public Health over to the State Water Resources Control Board. On Monday, that bill was put on in the suspension file at Senate Appropriations. What that means is they're still working on it. They're still looking at the fiscal aspect. And the committee has until August 30th to move it out of suspension file, out of the committee, and possibly into the floor. So we're still tracking. We're still discussing. We're still working. But at least the administration and the governor has taken a position, and now we'll do whatever we can to support getting that done. Outside of the legislative arena, we had staff released almost a month ago now the general industrial stormwater permit, which is in its, I don't know, seventh or eighth iteration now since staff began working on it. We are having a hearing on it next Wednesday, and hopefully we're nearing, I guess, the end of the tunnel when it comes to this last general permit that we still need to act upon, upon which then it is at least my hope, and I've had some discussion at our board member priority discussion, that after the industrial stormwater permit is acted upon, we should look into developing a stormwater strategy or a strategic work plan of some kind to lay the foundation and the framework of where we see our stormwater management efforts going in the future, so that 5 years from now, when these permits come up for renewal again, we actually have a pathway in place in terms of what we want to accomplish. So I'm actually looking very much to initiating that process and putting that in motion. Also want to give you a brief update, since I think there are some folks in your audience who have been tracking the toxicity effort. What started as the toxicity policy has morphed into a toxicity plan, but after a year of test driving the TST method, after numerous stakeholder input, voluminous materials that have to be considered, peer reviews that have to be done, the staff is preparing, I think, what hopefully will be, you know, a final draft version of the toxicity plan. They are hoping to meet with some key stakeholders. I believe they're trying to schedule meetings for the end of this month with the idea of going through over with, you know, the stakeholders some of the major changes are that staff will be proposing, and they will be looking to release another draft in October, I believe, is the next time frame. And then finally, you also, I think, have been aware, because it has been discussed at some of the water quality coordinating committee meetings in the past, that state board and regional board staff has been working on a groundwater strategic work plan that we've been waiting for a while as well. It is now projected that we will be, or staff will be, releasing a draft later this month, and that there will, the State Water Board will hold a workshop in September to gather input and to discuss the draft groundwater strategic plan that staff will be proposing. So lots of exciting things going on, and we'll stay tuned and see what happens with the drinking water program and how that fits into our other efforts on nitrates and groundwater. I think it's going to be exciting year in a couple of years for all of us who are working on water surface as well as groundwater issues. So thank you again for your work, and welcome to the newest board member.
Can you remind us when WQCC is?
Oh, Bruce, you're just going to stump me.
I have the whole report here.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Thank you.
Don't forget us.
All right.
So he'll inform you.
I'll cover it
actually,
for you.
It's on my calendar, Bruce. But it's like months from now. I believe it's in October.
October 24th, Thursday. October 25th, Friday. We will give you the scoop.
And potentially a field trip on Wednesday.
Yeah, the field trip has been... Would you like to do my report?
No, Mr. Chairman.
The field trip has been scheduled for the Capitol, which we think is an excellent idea, where they will bring in key staffers from the governor's office and maybe even the governor, and we're all working on that, and let all of us water board members show the administration all the work we do for the large salary we receive for this project. So we can handle it. So thank you, Tam.
Thank you.
So... Before I get too far ahead here with our introductions, I neglected to mention to all of us it's our executive officer's birthday today. So happy birthday, Bruce. And
it's been a great 46 years.
That's just with the board.
Well,
I was going to ask you about how.
When I started with the board, I actually had hair. So.
It's kind of funny. Before I got into politics, I looked the other day, and I told my wife, "Goes, you're getting a lot of gray hair." I said, "It's because of the darn politics, I think." But I love my gray hair if I have some. It's a different story. So, moving on here. But happy birthday, Bruce! I'm sure your mom's doing well. Also, she could give you a call or send you a card with a check or anything.
She always remembers.
No check.
91 years old. She says there's something to celebrate.
Good genes in there. So at this time, we have no public form cards, and we will move on to a stack of minutes for the board meeting from July 10th, 20. Let's back up. I'm going to go D first. We have May 9th, 2012, April 11th, 2012, June 13th, 2012, and July 10th. 2013, correct?
Right, and remember that we've noted that, especially since we have a number of board members who have not been here for some of the 2012 board meetings, that it's still acceptable to vote on approval of those minutes, even if you're not in attendance.
Understand? So we can take them all in one vote, please?
Yeah.
So. Move approval.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All in favor, aye.
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 So ordered on the minutes of the board meeting. Chair and board members, executive officers report. So I'll go as quickly as I can on the first one with the WQCC coming up.
I did the motion. The second was, yeah.
And as mentioned, day one will be October 24th. Check-in in Sacramento.
As the official day one.
Yes, as the official day one. And it looks like, I'm sorry, yeah, exactly. I don't have the exact schedule for a tentative visit to the Capitol.
My understanding it would start early afternoon on the 23rd if there's a visit to the Capitol. But
okay.
That's obviously still in
And it's a very intense couple of days or 2.5 days because everyone is working really hard on bringing in a team for the climate, science, and policy affecting water resources programs. Huge. And then the other is climate change and how should the water boards adapt. Just quickly, a tentative agenda. And climate change, planning and change for other state agencies, how to deal with. And day two will be a lot of interest in energy towards environmental justice challenges and concerns that the water boards face throughout the state and engaging disadvantaged communities and addressing their concerns. So it will be a pretty intense meeting. And, again, with my schedule, I don't know if I'll be there, but I encourage all of us to be there if we can. So that's exciting there. And then on another positive movement forward after all the months that have taken our new board member to get selected. Board Member Abacobi and Board Member Kissinger and myself are up for Senate rules today. So they've asked us not to attend, so I guess that's a positive sign. And unless our...
Or worried about what we would say.
Yeah.
Are your ears burning?
Yeah, our ears aren't burning. So, you know, after... as I mentioned when they interviewed us a number of times, and I think I mentioned it to Board Member Kissinger, and it's not about me, but it's my fifth term, and I go, you know what? You don't want me, don't put me on there. Simple as that. I'm not going to beg you for this job, but I guess we're still moving forward.
We have Russian visitors.
I thought they were Russians that would look like Russians, excuse me, with all respect. And the first doctor lady gets off the bus, and she's got an iPad videotaping me, number one. And number two, they were from Siberia. And they were just the most wonderful, unique individuals I've ever met, and three PhDs in the world of government and science and water. And so we just had this most lovely visit. And Siberia's a pretty big country, I guess, out there. But it's, and they got a lot of water. And so they're trying to figure out, you know, how do we, number one, keep agriculture in the country? Number two is how do we keep the environment clean, and how do we keep our water flowing over to Moscow so they can ruin it all? But anyway, that's another subject. And it was just a great, great experience. And I've never had visitors from Siberia, and there was five of them. And it was just the most wonderful experience that you could ever have and sharing what we all do. And they had a hard time grasping that farmer on crutches with orange Crocs was in government. So, and then to top it off, they put it on Facebook. So I got calls from all over the world from our relatives like, is Farmer John okay? What's the deal with the orange Crocs? I go, well, that were the closest things I could put on my feet that worked. So never a dull moment in all of our wonderful lives in the Bay Area here. So that's kind of the extent, but I think they're quite interested in inviting me as an individual someday to Siberia. So I'm kind of... and they brought me... Not the winter times, but they do have great summers and great fishing if you're a fishing person. And then they brought me a beautiful tapestry, and I gave them Farmer John's hats and pins and all this waterboard stuff, and then... they brought me a beautiful tapestry of their little ponies, their little horses. And these guys sit out in the snow all winter long out there, but their hair covers them, and it's just really so. The grandkids love the tapestry of the little ponies. So that was my exciting week with crutches and orange Crocs with government officials. So anyway, so we'll go to the vice chair for a report, please.
You know, I'm getting really tired of following this act. This is tough. So, just the facts, ma'am. That's me. I'm the just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. On July 15th, the chair and I met with the interested parties in the Sonoma Vineyard regulatory action. We're not sure what we're calling it yet, but it's going to be a regulatory action. It's not the waiver anymore.
We're just saying Vineyard Regulatory Program.
All right. Good. That's good enough for me. The attendees, it was a really a nice meeting. The attendees included people from across the spectrum of interested parties. We had the Sonoma Agricultural Commissioner, representatives from the California Sustainable Wine Growing Alliance, the Wine Institute, and two of the large growers in the area. And like our meeting with the Napa folks, we found that we had a lot more territory in common than we had conflict, but it's going to take some time to work out the details of how to make that territory in common acceptable or it. Acceptable to us and as efficient as we possibly can for them. the main part of the meeting we spent discussing how to use many of the existing programs that are already on the ground and adapt them so that we can basically sort of piggyback onto their certification programs to for our program so that we don't duplicate the field. And the three programs that are out there are already quite strong. There's one with run by the Sonoma Agricultural Commissioner. There's one run by the Certified California Sustainable Wine Growing Alliance, which is statewide, and VESCO Erosion Control Regulations. And I can't for the life of me remember what VESCO stands for, but it's the Sonoma County Erosion Control Regulations. So it we have reason to hope that we'll be able to get an efficient program that, that people will feel is wise regulation. So we're hoping on that. I should also mention that the first part of the meeting was spent with these folks telling us what a great job Jim Ponton is doing, our staff member, and I'm sure that those good feelings go up the line to Naomi Fager and Diane White, and I don't see Jim in the audience today, but you'll let him know that we all really appreciate his work. Was there anything you wanted to add?
No, I think the entree with the discharge community is just outreach is working better and better, and I know Board Member McGrath is working hard on that also with NGOs and different things, and all of us, I think, are seeing, I think, positive results getting us all together, and I know they appreciated it. You know, when you're talking to regulatory bodies, it's not as comfortable, but I think most people now are realizing that we are all trying to pull in the right direction. It's just the timing and how we get there for, you know, what's best for the community, but yet not to put businesses out of business either. I think that's the key, and I think the governor's office appreciates that too. So thank you, staff, for pulling that together. And I know our mini iPad man's come up with the
no, he's got the VESCO. He's got what VESCO stands for, which makes no sense. It's called it's Grading, Drainage, Vineyard, and Orchard Site Development. Abbreviated VESCO, you know.
The main thing is they want to make sure that they don't send all that soil down the hill.
Right.
Simple, yeah.
Right.
Keep it basic. So continue on, Vice Chair.
Okay. And then on July 30th, I met with Meredith Williams and Amy Chastain. You might hear from Amy later on this morning. She's with the San Francisco PUC. But we discussed nothing having to do with either the permit or the PUC, actually. We were focusing on the programs at the San Francisco Estuary Institute. Meredith Williams is the acting executive director of the Estuary Institute. We discussed the current SFEI programs, including not only the regional monitoring program, but some of their other special studies. And in particular, the characterization of water quality in areas that are dominated by non-point sources. Meredith and I had a nice conversation after you had to leave, Amy. If that doesn't sound familiar, it shouldn't. But that was important to me. And I think as an outgrowth of that meeting, we've been corresponding with Bruce.
I've had discussions with Meredith, and we're planning an information item for the September 11th board meeting on the regional monitoring program.
So that we can be updated, particularly those board members who are not able to go to the annual RMP meetings, we can be updated on the activities of SFEI, which form the foundation of many of our permits and many of our other regulatory activities, including TMDLs. Not to be outdone by my chair, on August 8th, I met with a Ukrainian scientist and international attorney who's been working on international Black Sea regulations. So
I would have thought the world represents up
I,
here. Huh?
I got no gifts and I paid for lunch, so there. You know, what's this about? Finally, on August 13th, I met with Allison Chan and David Lewis of Save the Bay. They were very interested in discussing the monitoring program associated with the trash requirements for stormwater. You all know that that's one of my interests. They expressed concerns regarding the ability of the regional board to know in a timely manner whether the permittees were going to be in compliance. So we discussed some of the details and of that monitoring program and how it's structured. That's it. Thank you.
I can't let her get away with that, so I decided this morning to go buy a couple of water since this board can't afford little water bottles for us anymore. So I bought two bottles of water. I'm in my cane, so guess what they gave me to carry my two waters here. So that goes back to that trash issue. And so the only reason I took the bag because it was here and I thought it was very appropriate that we monitor that, so that's a lot of fun for you to have.
And we'll keep it off the street.
That's
between
right.
The two of us.
Or out of the Lake Tahoe.
Right.
Board Member Kissinger, sorry, we've taken up some time here.
I'm not even going to try.
Our new board member.
Nothing really to report, but I also had a meeting with Allison Chang, and it was just a sort of introduction meeting. Do I need to speak louder?
Maybe into the mic.
Okay, into the mic. Okay. They just went through all the programs that they you know work on, and nothing special to report. So,
thank you, Board Member Abakomi. That's right. And Board Member McGrath, you can mention, please, your great historical moment in the art world, too.
Oh, no, I'll skip that
quickly.
One. I'll leave that out. A couple interesting things, or a very interesting set of meetings, and then a little bit of personal stuff. I went to, on July 16th, I had the good fortune to be invited to the science meeting, the annual science meeting. Meeting on the restoration of the salt ponds. And as some of you know, I've got a background in sediment movement in estuaries and on beaches. And these guys are the really good guys. I mean, they've got the USGS folks. There are two really critical issues for this board in the restoration of those salt ponds. The first is the potential for methylation of mercury, which certainly exists, and the early signs are that there is some increase in methylation, but not to the point where we have to dramatically slow everything down. Some of the interesting aspects of the research that's been done over the years by SFEI is we do actually have feathers that go back to the past century when mercury levels were much higher. And we didn't lose the species, but we do know that mercury in restored wetlands are at the point where they are affecting reproduction, and we have to be careful. But the advantage of increasing the acreage available to endangered species and ordinary species is sufficient to overcome that, and they are going down over time due to natural recovery and our own efforts. The second issue of interest is whether or not there needs to be a change in policies on dredging and disposal of material from excavation on land in order to provide the mineral base and the organic sediment base for restoration of wetlands. I followed up that meeting with dinner with Lester McKee of the San Francisco Estuary Institute, who was very kind and called me a mentor. And I just said, "Well, Lester, you can do all the things that I can't." So, of course, I've followed you closely. Lester is their watershed hydrologist, an absolutely brilliant young scientist who will be with us for many years, who doesn't quite agree with USGS. So I think there are things to still pay attention to on the sediment budget in the South Bay. It's too early to say we need policy changes. It's also too early to say we don't. And it's important that we do this research to make sure that we are doing things that maximize our potential ability to restore habitat and minimize the cost to those people who might be regulated through dredging or through land disposal activities. We don't want to throw sediment away or add costs. And we need to be real smart and real well based in research to do that right. And then I'm going to give you two personal notes. On August 3rd, I completed in my 65th year my first 103-mile bicycle ride. I did the Marin Century. I demonstrated something that most of you already know. I am really stubborn. It's 8 hours on a bicycle seat at 13 miles an hour. And at 80 miles, you start to hurt. And at 90 miles, you start to hurt a lot. But at 97 miles, there you are on the top of Lucas Valley Road and on your way back, and it's all downhill. So I haven't been on my bike since. I'm not sure why. And then on Sunday, I am, as well as stubborn, I am a very loyal person. I will celebrate. Forty years of marriage.
Congratulations.
I am a lucky man.
Trust me, these positions and all of our positions in life, Board Member McGrath, we couldn't survive without our spouse and partners and loved ones and family members. Let me tell you, Edith's home loading a truck for Farmer's Market, and I'm here with this. So I promised her someday I would be home and let her have the opportunity to kind of just go for a walk and get the paper with the dog. But congratulations on, and we're all very lucky with our families, and let's hope we can continue that pace. So, Mr. Birthday Boy.
A few items. Vice Chair Young mentioned the regional monitoring program and the annual meeting that we have of the regional monitoring program. Just to reiterate, the regional monitoring program, which is celebrating its 20-year anniversary this year, was established by this board as a way to more appropriately and consistently monitor trace constituents in the San Francisco Bay Estuary, and it's become a model for a worldwide model in many respects, and which means finally they're recognizing that maybe they should establish something similar in the Delta 20 years. At any rate, Meg Sedlak, who's the program manager for the regional monitoring program on behalf of San Francisco Estuary Institute, is scheduled to come next month to give us a briefing on the regional monitoring program. But more significantly, this is every other year we have the State of the Estuary conference that's hosted by the San Francisco Estuary Partnership, not to be confused with San Francisco Estuary Institute. They are different. But this year, for the first time, we'll have the Regional Monitoring Program annual meeting as part of the State of the Estuary. And so on October 29th and 30th here at the Oakland Convention Center, Marriott, whatever we're currently calling it, we will have 2 days worth of sessions for the State of the Estuary and the Regional Monitoring Program. So we'll make sure you get the information on that. I've already been asked to speak on one of those days, and I'm sure a number of our staff, and we know that Felicia Marcus is scheduled, and I think I've heard Steve Moore is scheduled amongst various state board personages.
Not sure if Tam is on the list yet for that, but
we'll try to get her included. Anyway, we'll keep you posted on that. Unfortunately, it does come right on the heels of the WQCC, so scheduling may be a challenge, and it's right before Halloween, so we know some people will have a challenge there. But so everything's coming, getting ripe at the same time. Board Member McGrath, I think, is letting me make a mention of what I did in the executive officer's report, noting that at the BCDC commission meeting on July 18th, we had a presentation and discussion of the 12-year review of the long-term management strategy for dredge material disposal, and much like in his discussion of some of the issues that came up at the Salt Pond Science Symposium, there's greater recognition of the needs and benefits of reuse of dredge material as part of a sediment strategy within the bay, in that we, at the beginning of the long-term management strategy, the effort was try to get parties to recognize that dredge material can be beneficially reused. We're definitely past that. Now the challenge is, can we optimize its reuse in a system that seems to be losing sediment? And can we get it into the right place? Can we determine where the right place is? And are there nearshore opportunities for placement of sediment? And how can we optimize that? And I was pleased, especially with some of the comments by Zach Wasserman as head of the commission, saying that BCDC fully supports some of the efforts we're looking at as we move forward with the long-term management strategy as to how do we optimize this reuse. And we had established the long-term management strategy as an effort to promote reuse, but also to draw down the amount of dredge material that was placed back in the bay, and had established sort of a relief valve of placement of dredge material out at an ocean site. And recently we found that maybe more material is going to the ocean site than it should, because that is problematic in that it's taking it out of the bay system. But also there's obviously a strong carbon footprint for taking material far out in the ocean. So we're trying to balance how we continue to be protective of in-bay uses that placement of dredging material may have impacts on. How can that be balanced with making sure we're not losing the use of the sediment and making upland sites available? And as part of that, we're getting more input from the restoration community wanting to come forward of working to make matches in terms of sediment reuse sites and dredge material projects, and so we're making progress there. So we'll keep reporting on that. Finally, I did want to note our leadoff item in this month's report of in-water vessel hull cleaning best management practices. This is, to a certain degree, an outgrowth of our ongoing efforts with getting the mothball fleet cleaned up and finding that really there may be ways to actually do effective hull cleaning in water, but it's still an emerging area, and so we're trying to make sure we're making a best management practice available, and as such, we've put out a fact sheet that's we're now sharing around the state and going to be talking about at our meeting in a couple of weeks, where we have all the executive officers together and talk about how we might be able to better apply that statewide. But I think this is a good thing that both Dave Elias, who had been our point on the mothball fleet cleanup, and Bill Johnson, who you're going to hear from shortly, working together across divisions to try to see how we can come up with practices that allow projects that essentially need to be done, such as hull cleaning, have that take place, but be done in a protective manner. And we also are pleased that the Maritime Administration has been very forthcoming on this. I don't think we would have seen this, you know, 6 or 7 years ago in the same way. So that I think is a good success.
Thank you. And I think we too, as a board, commend the airport staff for the environmental work they've done cleaning up that unfortunate incident. I mean, I think that's why everyone trains and works so hard to do the right thing. So thank you for
Emergency response has always been a challenge for everybody, to make sure that when things are going crazy in a emergency situation, that there's still some recognition that we need to be protective of resources. And I think the Bay Area emergency response community has really embraced this over the last 25 years.
Thank you. We will move on to swearing in at this time. All relevant evidence that any person's desires to be considered by this board must be introduced at this hearing, first by the board staff, second by the discharger, third by public agencies, and fourth by any other interested persons. The board and board counsel may ask questions to clarify the testimony of a witness at any time. Cross-examination of any witnesses by others will be allowed following completion of direct testimony by all persons. Each person testifying will commence by stating his or her name, whom he or she represents, and whether he or she took the oath to tell the truth. The hearings will not be conducted according to technical rule of evidence. The board will accept any evidence or testimony that is reasonably relevant to the issues. All board files, exhibit, and agenda materials pertaining to this matter will be made part of the record of this proceeding. Additional written material will be made part of the record at the discretion of the board. Those wishing to testify in this hearing will now rise, please, or raise your hand. Do you promise to tell the truth? Thank you.
So do. Item 5 is consideration of uncontested items. I'll note that of the 5 items there, actually only 5A and B are action items. We do not have any supplementals. I'm not aware of any cards in 5A or B.
There's none.
Okay. So I'd recommend adoption of the uncontested calendar as is.
I would so move.
It's been moved. Move and second. Further discussion?
I would just make a brief comment. I do read these things, particular performance, and this discharger is doing it the way it should be done. There's been a smoke test. They've identified 23 sites. It's in the capital program. There's a sewer ordinance. We appreciate this work by discharger.
And I think it shows some of the other agencies in Marin County that may not have been so proactive that it can be done.
Thank you. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor for the uncontested calendar?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. So ordered.
And just in passing, before we move forward, I would say that the status report items are very significant, especially the amount of work we have scheduled in the TMDL program upcoming, and that, as we note on 5E, the implementation of any of the TMDLs, even though they've been developed and adopted, that almost is just the beginning of the work. And so there's progress that's being made, but as noted in 5E, there still are some humps to get over, and we can be continuing to work on that. In 5C, we did note the update of the environmental screening levels. And either in September or October, we will have a more detailed status report for you on the environmental screening levels, how they're developed, and how we're using those to be more efficient in our cleanup oversight.
Thank you, and thank you, staff, for all that hard work. And these are some of the things that kind of get lost out in the world of the paperwork and things like that. So at least we have that up front here, and we continue to work forward. So now we will be moving on to MPDS permit item number 6. And at this point, I only have one card from our friends from San Francisco. Will there be any other speakers? Mr. Carlin, you'll be speaking? Okay.
So item 6 is consideration of the MPDS permit for the Southeast Water Pollution Control Plant for the City County of San Francisco. Like Bill Johnson. Presentation.
I guess, Bill, you got some recognition, too, recently. Did he not?
We're always recognized.
No, didn't you get to go to West Virginia or somewhere like that?
Shepherdstown, West Virginia.
Yeah, see that? I mean, how come these guys get all the fancy trips and we got to go to California and things like that?
I got to spend a week being called Mr. California.
Yeah, congratulations. As long as they didn't let you go play golf on all those fancy golf courses.
No, it's off in the woods someplace, so you couldn't really go anywhere.
Good job. Thank you for doing that.
It was great. So good morning, Chair Mueller and board members, and especially you, Dr. Ajami. I can't think of any better way to welcome you to the water board than with a big, fat, juicy NPDS permit. Exactly, for San Francisco. It's a good place to start. I'm Bill Johnson. I'm a senior environmental scientist with the NPDS program. The revised tentative order before you this morning would reissue the NPDS permit for the San Francisco Southeast Water Pollution Control Plant, North Point Wet Weather Facility, Bayside Wet Weather Facilities, and Wastewater Collection System, which is a lot of words for one slide, but that's because this order covers a lot of ground. Since we seem to have worked out some of our most vexing issues, my presentation today is primarily for your own personal information and edification. So with that, we'll get started. The city operates a combined collection system, meaning that it collects and treats sanitary sewage, urban runoff, and stormwater in the same set of sewage pipes. That's different than what happens everywhere else in the state of California, except for a small portion of Sacramento. Separate sewer systems are the norm around here. Combined sewer systems are much more common with older collection systems back east. There are pros and cons to having a combined sewer system. During wet weather, some combined sewer discharges don't necessarily receive full treatment. On the other hand, a combined sewer system treats a significant amount of urban runoff and stormwater. So a combined sewer system removes many pollutants that would go completely untreated if sewer systems were separated. Oops, that is not. All right, started at the end of the presentation instead of the beginning. That's odd. Okay. The facilities we're talking about today serve the bayside of San Francisco, which is shown in light green on the slide, plus a few small areas of San Mateo County. Next year, we'll bring you a different permit for the ocean side, which is shown in tan, and it'll be another combined sewer system permit. The southeast plant, which is located in this little yellow box down here, it provides primary and secondary treatment. And for those of you who are new to this, primary treatment is the first level of treatment consisting of physical processes, and secondary treatment is a higher level of treatment consisting of biological processes. The average dry weather flow at the southeast plant is about 58 million gallons per day. These flows are discharged through a deep water outfall at the end of Pier 80, which is out here, kind of depicted on this slide, out into San Francisco Bay. When it rains, the southeast plant can provide secondary treatment for up to 150 million gallons per day. And when it rains even more, the southeast plant can still provide primary treatment for another 100 million gallons per day above that, for a total of 250 million gallons per day. And all of these discharges are disinfected prior to discharge. The capacity of the deep water outfall is only 110 million gallons per day. So when the flow exceeds that, excess secondary treated effluent is discharged from a shoreline outfall near Quinn Street into Islas Creek, which is the channel, if I can get my cursor back, this little channel in here. When it's raining pretty hard, there's also the North Point Wet Weather Facility, which is another treatment plant, and it's located up here at this little yellow box. And that treatment plant can also discharge up to 150 million gallons per day of primary treated and disinfected effluent from four deepwater outfalls near piers 30 and 35. And on this figure, those four outfalls are just depicted by one line out here. San Francisco's collection system includes large transport storage boxes to capture the city's wastewater, urban runoff, and stormwater when it rains. Most of the wastewater collected in the transport storage boxes is pumped to a treatment plant. However, during really big storms, when a box gets full, decanted wastewater overflows into San Francisco Bay. These combined sewer discharges are mostly stormwater, but they do contain some sanitary sewage. They receive the equivalent of primary treatment inside the transport storage boxes without disinfection. Oops. I'm making my same mistake here. Okay. These combined sewer discharges can occur from any of 29 shoreline outfalls shown here in red all over the shoreline of San Francisco. They happen just a few times each year, and typically they only last a few hours. But they seem to garner lots of attention. So this revised tentative order requires San Francisco to post notices at recreational use locations following combined sewer discharges. The system is designed so that the frequency of the combined sewer discharges depends on location. To the north, up here, discharges happen about four times per year on average. Along the east shore, in through here, they happen about 10 times per year on average, and in the southeast quadrant down here, they happen just about once a year on average. These frequencies were selected when the system was first designed, and they're based on where the beneficial uses, like water contact recreation, were located. They were determined through a lengthy public process the board undertook in the 1970s and 80s. The federal regulation that addresses combined sewer systems during wet weather is called the Combined Sewer Overflow, or CSO, control policy. The policy requires controls to be implemented in phases. The first phase was to implement the 9 minimum technology-based requirements. The second phase was to implement a long-term control plan, which, for permitting purposes, could serve as a narrative water quality-based effluent limitation. San Francisco constructed its combined sewer system and met minimum policy requirements long before the policy was ever went into effect in 1994. The revised tenet of order requires the city to continue implementing the 9 minimum controls and operating the system consistent with the long-term control plan requirements of the CSO control policy. So now we're in a phase where we use post-construction compliance monitoring to confirm that the combined sewer system actually maintains water quality standards in receiving waters, as we presume it does. If the system doesn't perform as planned, adjustments may be needed. The revised tentative order requires the city to conduct post-construction compliance monitoring and update its long-term control plan. So that might be enough about combined sewer systems for right now. Before I sit down, I want to point out something on a completely different note, and that is that this revised tentative order reflects the new state NPDES permit template. And it's the first time we've used it here. So for fun, you can compare and contrast it with the Tiburon order that you just adopted. One more thing on this is that last week, the State Water Board's Office of Chief Counsel removed a sentence from the template, and the change that's in the supplemental in front of you reflects that change. So with the change that's in the supplemental, I would recommend that you adopt the revised tentative order, and I'm going to sit down and give somebody else a chance to speak.
Thank you for the presentation. Any questions of Bill at this time? Otherwise, we can have him nearby. So at this time, Mr. Michael Carlin, representing San Francisco PUC, and good to see all of our former friends and acquaintances, and hopefully future friends and acquaintances.
I hope we'll always be friends, Mr. Chairman. I've never left. Following your rules, my name is Michael Carlin. I'm the Deputy General Manager, Chief Operating Officer for the San Francisco Public Utilities Commission, and I will tell the truth. It's also, I wanted to first off just thank staff, you know, Bill Johnson and Lila Tang, Tom Mumley, and Bruce Wolf for all their cooperation in discussing our permits and our issues with us and bringing them to resolution as we sit, you know, stand here before you today. Bill did a great job talking about our system and the factoids about our system, and I just wanted to kind of make mention a little bit. While we're unique here in California, we're not unique if we were on the East Coast of the United States where there are a lot of combined sewer systems, or in Portland or in Seattle. As such, you know, we kind of judge ourselves against our colleagues that have combined sewer systems, and I'd like to report that we're on the top of the heap. We're way ahead of our colleagues in Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., and other places as far as control measures, as far as infrastructure, and actually we are looking ahead. We're not looking to just stay, you know, where we are today, but we're kind of looking ahead. As Bill mentioned, 100% of the rainwater that falls on San Francisco, we capture. We capture, we treat it in one way or another. Only about 10% of that stormwater actually goes out as combined sewer discharges. And that's pretty significant when you look across the country, when you talk to people in Philadelphia, where they're hoping to get to 65%, 80%. We're at, you know, we basically capture 100%, we treat 90%. We're only discharging 10%, and we're trying to whittle away that number as we move forward. One of the things that kind of comes up is communication. You know, when we do have an event, how do we communicate with folks? Well, we have interested parties lists. We have email lists. We post on our website. So if there's somebody that, like, uses the bay for recreational purposes and wants to know, is it safe to swim in the bay, we have that information on our website, or we can add them to an email list that we can send out to them immediately. And by the way, we actually go out and monitor after each event. So it's not like we just stand there and kind of guess what's happening, but we're actually out there monitoring after each event to make sure that it's safe. And we are going to kind of step up our monitoring in the future to make sure that we understand what's kind of happening after each storm event. Now, what I wanted to just bring up is basically we are not standing still. We are moving forward. We have a sewer system improvement program that phase one has been approved. It's a $2.9 billion addition to our wastewater system. A lot of it is to work on our solids handling facilities, but also it has some redundancy and resiliency in our sewer system as it happens when it rains. We are going to increase our pumping capability. We are looking at different ways that we might operate the system in the future to be more efficient in how we move the water around. While we talked about the capacity of the plants, we're also looking at, do we increase the capacity of the plants? Do we do things differently? We're also looking at low-impact development. This is something that a lot of stormwater folks are talking about, but we're also looking at it as well. We have about $80 million set aside. We're looking at doing some pilot projects. $80 million doesn't sound like a pilot project to me, but that's what we're calling it, to look at how we can capture that stormwater, slow it down, infiltrate it where we can into the groundwater or into the groundwater basin if we can. Geology doesn't always kind of work in your favor if you're trying to infiltrate it into a rocky substrate. But we're trying to marry that, and this is where we're kind of working with our colleagues across the country, and we're being recognized for this. We have a better streets program in San Francisco. How do we make the streets safer? How do we make traffic calmer on the streets? And how do we use the streets then and the sidewalks to actually do stormwater infiltration? So we're actually working with our Department of Public Works at looking at that. And we're planning to monitor that, monitor the system, and see how successful we will be in the future. That's basically, where we're at this point in time. We're very happy to stand here and answer any questions you might have. But again, I want to thank you, thank your staff for the hard work they did on this permit, and we'd like to move forward.
Just to be crystal clear, Mr. Carlin, whose career I have followed for many, many years, and quite a successful and illustrious career, started in my experience with an amount of arm twisting over the creation of the regional monitoring program. Yeah. Well done, and he broke nothing, and it was a very good thing. It appeared when I read this that there might be some level of discomfort, but what I'm hearing from you and Bill, and I want to make it crystal clear, is you agree with the staff recommendation as it has been revised?
I agree with the staff recommendation as revised. There's always going to be discomfort in any permit, and that's a fact, and we're just going to live with it.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Vice Chair?
Yes, Mr. Carlin, I did have a follow-up question with regard to the public notification provisions. The formal requirements of the permit that we're being asked to adopt say that when one has a combined sewer discharge, that warning signs should be posted on the same day as the event. Mm-hmm. Unless it occurs after 4 p.m., in which case you can wait till 8 a.m. the next morning. And I think from your comments, you know where I'm going with this, but I just wanted to make sure I understood you. I think many of us have crazy friends who get in the bay at 5 in the morning or 6 in the morning in the middle of a storm in the middle of the night and swim or kayak or...
You know my cousins?
Wait, no.
Jeez.
I know my swim team. And based on the provisions in our permit, they would have no way of knowing if there had been a combined sewer overflow event in the northern area the night before. So it sounds like you have a different kind of electronic notification. Can you tell us whether... that allows people very early in the morning to know what has happened the afternoon and evening before?
So one of the things that, taking a step back, we are a 24/7 operation. We recently, about a year and a half ago, hired an emergency response director, and that's for what you would call catastrophic events, but also there's routine events. And we've been improving our communication internally. So when it starts to rain, there are notices that go out to all sort of like managers saying there's an event that's actually occurring, and when there's an overflow occurring, we would be notified of that as well. We're hoping to improve that communication. Once we have that information, then our emergency response team actually could put out a general email to our email list and post it on our website. I mean, that's the kind of the first step electronically that we could do. The next step would be that we're a 24/7 operation. Can we call in staff basically on standby that can go and post the site immediately, and we're trying to work on that. So while we have that language in the permits, we are hoping to go exceed that language and be more proactive in the future.
I would just appreciate it as a courtesy if you could make sure that there is an electronic communication that people
certainly
can, wake up and look at their computers or smartphones or whatever and see what has been happening and, perhaps 6 months from now or so, Bruce could inform us about how that's going just in his...
Hopefully it starts raining again.
And again, I'm not proposing to change the permit at all, but I would appreciate it if you could make that happen.
Absolutely. And we'll come back and tell you how it's working in 6 months or whatever.
And Lila has noted that one of the foremost electronic media firms is in San Francisco, Twitter, and so maybe expanding the notices, the tweets and all like.
We are on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on all of those social media. Twitter's four blocks from our office, so, you know, it's something that we use regularly.
So you can open the window and yell at them.
We can see them on the roof.
That's how I do it. That's not how you all do it. I still yell at them. Board Member Kissinger? Okay, so just I know there's another couple cards, but, Michael, since we have you here, I am excited to tell you that being a board member of the San Francisco Wholesale Produce Market, we're breaking ground for our first phase of expansion right next door.
That's correct.
And we're really excited about that. And over the last year, I have to say that I've tried to encourage them on low-impact development. The city definitely encourages you on everything you don't even want to be encouraged on, but that's another subject. But we're really excited about being a neighbor there and the future $100 million state-of-the-art produce terminal in the next 10 years right next door to the South State community. Just a railroad track separating us, but we're all good neighbors. And then going back in history quickly, when I was a young man, Mayor Feinstein, we were there to help build that whole Southeast Community Center out there with Roger Boas, the city administrator. I was on a committee, and don't ask me why, but we fought them, but they built those greenhouses out there. And it's sort of a pink elephant, I'm sure, for the city of San Francisco. But we do have some interested produce individuals now that are interested in coming in there to kind of straighten it up a little bit. And so I just wanted you to be aware that there is a possibility that there could be a wholesale produce member out there growing some organic produce that helps the community and this whole environmental justice stuff we're working on. So it's been an exciting time, and we have a 60-year lease with the city of San Francisco.
Excellent.
So thank you for that. And I know you have other members of your staff here. Laura, did you want to speak on this item also? Very good. And then David, please, from Aqua.
Good morning, Chair Mueller, members of the board. I'm David Williams, the executive director of the Bay Area Clean Water Agencies. And BACWA routinely reviews tentative orders just to see if there's items in the order that have broad impact to the POTW community. And in reviewing this order, two issues popped up. One was the issue of absence of a chronic toxicity test in the list of approved tests. And the other was the sentence that Bill Johnson mentioned that ultimately got removed. So I'm here, pure and simple, just to thank staff, particularly Lila and her staff, in working with us, listening to our concerns, and resolving them satisfactorily. So thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you. Any further comments from the board? Staff? Yes, board member.
I would like to make a comment about the progress and the continuing progress by the city of San Francisco. I started my career at the Environmental Protection Agency when I was still a college student and worked in the construction grant program when the debate was going on what to do about combined sewer systems and whether or not to separate them. And I think we know now that not separating them was a wise decision. I don't think it was an intentional decision. But I've been through that and many other struggles, particularly the West Side Transport when I was at the Coastal Commission. It was originally denied by the Regional Commission. San Francisco has continued to make improvements not only in how they approach wastewater treatment, but how they approach their interested parties. They outreach. They do innovate. It continues to get better. I was very pleased to see Michael Carlin there. I tried to hire him once. I always thought he was tremendous talent, and I think we're very lucky to have him in that position, and I think it shows. So I'm happy the issues were resolved before the board had to meet, but I wanted to recognize the ongoing work and the continuing work that you've done and appreciate it.
Yeah, I thank you for those kind words with them because, again, I have always said it over the years. I mean, San Francisco has always worked really hard to move forward, but yet, you know, we have a job to do and staff has a job to do to ensure that we're all going in the right direction, as I said earlier. And these are big permits. These are big people out there. And so there's a lot of work goes into it. And I can only thank everyone for being involved in it because, as I said earlier today, we're all trying to pull in the right direction. But it does cost hundreds of millions of dollars to do things, too. And it takes time to put that together. But I think we're off to a good start on this permit. And, again, as I've always said, one meeting will compliment you, and possibly the next meeting we find you. So let's hope we don't have to find you. So this is sort of a complimentary meeting, and then let's don't ever have to go to that other one. So no plaques today, but a good permit. So I would entertain a motion to.
Well, with that, I'd recommend a adoption of the revised tenant board before you with the change that's noted in your supplemental of striking the sentence.
So moved.
I'll second.
It's moved and second. May we have a roll call vote, please? It's okay.
Board Member Kidd?
Yes.
Board Member Ajani?
Yes.
Board Member Abitur?
Aye.
Board Member
Aye.
Aye.
Aye, so ordered, and thank you. And I believe at this time we're going to have a quick break for a little table reshuffle.
Right. The next item is an enforcement item where we're going to be separating functions, so we'll do a little bit of musical chairs here.
Yeah. Let's just take a very, very short break.